The markets. We just can't get enough of them.
Markets are the drivers of your wealth and investment strategy.
Welcome to Magic Markets with your co-hosts, the Finance Ghost and Mohammed Nallah.
Together, we have more than 25 years of combined experience in the markets.
In addition to our weekly free show that you know and love, we have now launched Magic Markets Premium, a weekly show for our subscribers in which we give detailed analysis on global stocks.
Every premium show is accompanied by a report covering the company's strategic drivers, its operating environment, its competitors, bull versus bear case, technical trading indicators, and a long-term investment thesis.
At just 99 Rand per month, we are committed to making institutional-level analysis affordable for all investors and traders. Visit magic-markets.com to go premium and unlock your full potential in the markets. This podcast is brought to you by Ambro Capital Investments. Invest in the future. Invest in growth. Visit investingunicorns.com to learn more. The Unicorn Portfolio is managed by Ambro Capital Investments, an authorized financial services provider. This podcast is for informational purposes only and is not financial or investment advice. Please speak to your personal financial advisor. Welcome to episode 167 of Magic Markets. Yes, we've done a lot of these now, Mo. And we've done quite a few of them with the team from Ambro, and it's always so lucky to have them back. So, Justin, thank you so much for joining us this week. And Mo, hello to you as well, wearing, my gosh, is that your old blue hoodie? Is that like the famous old blue hoodie from 166 shows ago? No.
It's a new blue hoodie. Of course, it's a new blue hoodie, right? It's just it's maintaining the blue hoodie identity that is original to Magic Markets. So for those of you that can't see us, yes, I am wearing a blue hoodie. And that's because we have the strangest weather, right? It was warming up last week. I had a day of 20 degrees, which is unheard of in March in Canada. And right now we're below zero again and it's snowing outside. So hence the blue hoodie is back out again. But let's not talk about my bad weather. Let's rather go across to an old friend of the show, old friend of both of ours, Ghost. And that's Justin Brophy from Ambro. Justin, welcome back to the show.
Oh, great to be here, Ghost. And Mo, thanks for having us and to your listeners. Always great to be on the show.
Dusty, you always bring us some pretty great surprises in terms of the companies that you want to talk about. And I mean genuine surprises, you know, not like Mo, who is surprised by the Northern Hemisphere being cold at this time of year, when it is in fact cold. But stuff that people aren't actually expecting, you know, and I think you guys invest in some really, really interesting stuff. And it's always good to learn about it from you. And there does always seem to be a bit of a tilt towards not medical devices, but just medical stuff in general. So sometimes devices, sometimes treatments. It's really been great to learn some of this from you. And I think you've got a couple of those lined up for us this week as well, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, that's correct. You know, our journey in terms of the unicorn portfolio has led us to see a whole lot of interesting businesses across all the different spaces, you know, particularly businesses that have huge potential runways. And in this space, particularly in the biotech space, you know, really it's the upside is unlimited, but at the same time, there's always a huge amount of risk involved.
Yeah, it's a bit like a call option, right?
Exactly.
Yeah, in fact, I mean, that's what I was going to jump in and say. I mean, the two stocks that we're going to cover today, and again, Justin, you'll go into it in whichever order you want to look at them. But one was Madrigal, which I'd never heard of. And another one was Myomo, which I'd also never heard of. But then I went and I pulled up a chart on some of these. And oh boy, were these interesting. I mean, looking at Myomo, you know, that stock has actually rallied from like below a dollar to over $3. But before you think it's always been penny stock stuff, I then zoomed all the way out and I took like a really, really, really long-term chart on this. And I was surprised to see that this stock had actually gotten as high as around $700 at one point in time. So roller coaster stuff that comes with biotech. I must say it's why I'm afraid of biotech. It's why I'm very interested to hear what you say about some of these stocks. And also, you know, how do you look at some of them? How do you actually identify what's a good opportunity? And, you know, is it a call option or is there actually a viable business behind that? But, you know, why don't you just jump in there, Justy? Because I'm really interested to unpack and understand how you're looking at some of the stocks in the sector and how you A, quantify risk and B, come to what you think is a decent valuation type of setup.
It's such great questions, all of them. And I think, you know, if we didn't have the research that we have and also the sort of interest and excitement that we see, you know, one of the greatest things that I've had in my life is working with my business partner, Craig Antoni, who's also our chief, investment officer. And Craig always has a very interesting look at any kind of market or any kind of stock. He always looks at a stock and says, what else is related here? What are the sectors? What's impacted by things? And if we start with the very first stock, Madrigal, where did this come from? Well, you will know that just before AI, everybody was about to get super skinny because we are looking at drugs like Wegovy and other GLP-1 type drugs that people are now injecting. And if you are a famous person, you've probably been using this for longer. But there's huge results coming and huge profits and huge share runs for Eli Lilly and Viking Therapeutics. If you want to see an Everest-type stock chart, have a look at their one. But this particular stock and where this came from is when people looked at GLP-1 type drugs, in other words, losing weight and the efficacy of losing weight and how it was actually working, up to 10 to 15% of your body weight for people, what they started looking at is what else would be impacted? What, you know, obesity-related diseases or impact do you find out there? And what is going to be the beneficiary of those? What isn't going to be beneficiary? And when it came out, it was pretty much like AI. Everybody jumped on Eli Lilly, Johnson & Johnson, and Viking Therapeutics, and these things were never going to fail, and off they went. The reality is, the first stock I'm going to talk about in terms of Madrigal and where we found it was people, first of all, criticized the company and said, you know, your job and what Madrigal does is they have a very specialized treatment for liver disease and liver cirrhosis. And to be fair on them, and not being a medical person myself, they describe it as the potential first-to-market therapy for patients with, and this is an important acronym, NASH, which is non-alcoholic steatohepatitis and liver fibrosis. What you will find is that you might find friends, people, family members who actually have a fatty liver, yet hardly drink, or are in communities from a religious perspective, whatever, who have never drunk or never even have that, and yet here they present with these symptoms. Now, these are life-changing and potentially lethal situations. They even occur in certain children, in population, and that sort of stuff. And so what initially happened was people thought, you know what, people lose weight, they lose fat on their liver, and everything's going to be okay. The reality is that this hasn't been tested. It hasn't even been looked at this point. Now, what Madrigal have just done, which is, I don't know if it's Madrigal or Magical, to be honest, but they got to where they are different is through our research in GLP-1, we came across this NASH, which again, for the last time I'll say it today, is non-alcoholic steatohepatitis and liver fibrosis. And give you an idea, there's about 315,000 people in the States that suffer from this. And to treat them costs, using this new drug, costs about $47,000. However, treating them is approved by medical aids, medical insurance, because it's a lot cheaper to treat them than ongoing treatments. And as things progress and get worse, and hospital treatment and so on and so forth, you know, finding a drug has almost been like the holy grail. And that is what these guys have achieved. Now, they achieved this on the 14th of March. They got what is called accelerated FDA approval for their drug. Now, the risk in that is accelerated approval means the FDA saw enough and had enough of their cases that they've shown efficacy in to approve the drug. On an accelerated program, what happens is it can also be withdrawn if it's found that after use and after a while, they don't see the same efficacy. However, a lot of the analysts are saying that they don't believe this is the case, and this drug is pretty much proven. So much so that just a quick overview of the results from the New England Journal of Medicine. These are the broad response results. 50% of people treated showed either NASH resolution, as in it was gone, or fibrosis improvement dramatic. That's 50% of cases. Greater than 70% of patients received a 30% reduction in non-invasive test results. So in other words, they could see it without having to go in and do a biopsy. 80% of treated patients achieved fibrosis reversal or no fibrosis progression from where they were, which is quite phenomenal. Now, the reason these things are binary is because you're going to sit and wait for those particular moments. You know, you're sitting waiting for these kind of moments and to get these kind of results. Now, Madrigal currently trades at around $283 a share. You know, from the various analysts we've spoken to, you know, target price could be anywhere between $336 and all the way through to maybe even $500, $600 in terms of this particular stock. So the idea is here also, please, to your listeners, and that is, if you want to buy stocks like this, and I'll go through some of the risks and things a bit later as well, and some of the financial metrics for those, the most important thing to do is rather buy them in a diversified portfolio like our unicorn fund. And the reason I say that is not because you have to buy the unicorn. I say that because these stocks require a lot of research, they require a lot of insight, and they also require keeping an eye on the ball. They can turn on a dime. Now, with this particular stock, what makes it so interesting is, and this is talking directly to Ghost, this stock is currently making a net annual loss of $232 million. However, they do have cash equivalents and marketable securities around $634 million, which gives them 3 years of runway. Now, this is not a company you want running to the bank at the moment who's going to try and lend them money if they're lucky. This is a company that was looking for a solution to finally go live, and they throw big money at these type of things. Now, one of the discussions Craig and I had, and why suddenly we're seeing GLP-1 drugs, you know, Viking's latest GLP weight loss drug, and suddenly this drug coming through, is I do think a shortage of capital in the market is starting to get biotechs looking for approval, and has actually benefited us as users by shortening the runway to seeing some really game-changing drugs. Madrigal, as it's, you know, as a company, its drug is called Rezdiffra. I don't know how they come up with these drug names. They sound horrific. To me, it sounds like some sort of violent dinosaur. But anyway, that is what it's called. And Rezdiffra is for the treatment of adults with non-cirrhotic NASH with a moderate to advanced liver fibrosis. Who knows what that means? I don't know. I just know that it is incredibly efficient at reducing fat on the liver and helping people who are non-alcoholic sort of patients that are battling with this at children. That's the first piece. What I will tell you is where this gets really interesting is there are other competitors. Viking's got a drug. Eli Lilly's looking at a drug as well. But here's the trick. The accelerated approval they got from the FDA gave them such a head start that this market is desperate for these drugs. How desperate? Here's the scenario here. This came from the recent results presentation where their CEO put up this slide. 88% of physicians and people in the medical space who would prescribe the drug, and 85% of clinical physicians would also prescribe the drug. So 88% and 85%. Patients, 89% of patients would proactively seek this particular drug. At the time of presenting, it was called Resmetirom. It's now called Rezdiffra, is the actual marketed name. And the comment from patients was, there is a ticking time bomb inside of me. I don't know when it will go off. So there's a huge amount of fear of people who have this. In terms of payers, 100% of payers, these are medical aids and medical schemes, viewed the need to treat NASH with moderate to advanced fibrosis as a high to very high need in terms of funding. So you've now got guys who have got a fast approval for a phenomenal drug that has shown excellent efficacy in the beginning. In terms of potential sales, you can work this out. 315,000 patients at the moment, times approximately $47,000 a treatment. You're starting to talk really big numbers. Now you take that and you multiply that globally. Now, yes, globally you do need different approvals in different parts of the world. But if you have a head start in this and it becomes the first known solution, you are way ahead of the pack on this. And with those, that kind of demand, that's where this gets really interesting. You know, for us, this is, you know, you're looking at multiples of 5 to 10 times start spitting out ridiculously silly numbers for this particular company. And so for us, it's a really interesting, really amazing company that's come from nowhere. And you are right. These are the reasons why these things do arrive. And they have a real niche. So for us, it's a stock, you know, we probably have had this now for about 4 or 5 months. We've watched this roller coaster. We've got interested in it and we're quite comfortable to hold it. But a really, really interesting part of the market.
You know, what I found interesting is I opened up the investor presentation from when they actually got their approval. And there's two really cool slides in there if you're interested in the space. And the one is what they call their NASH waterfall, which is really nothing more than the diagnosed population, how many of them have moderate to advanced, and then how many of them are seen by the specialists that they believe they can target. So that just talks to all that startup stuff around total addressable market and then a penetration rate into that market. And the other thing that's quite cool is they've got a whole slide here on, they call it establishing pathway for blockbuster first in disease medicine. Sounds like a blockbuster, but basically all it is, you know, we educate the specialists and then they've got to create this whole treatment pathway, as they put it, which is basically all of the medical records, you know, getting all the codes in place, medical aid, making sure that it can actually be paid for, which of course is one of the challenges with these more niche diseases, because probably none of the sufferers can actually pay for it themselves outside of a medical aid environment, not at those sort of prices. So It takes a long time to get this stuff right. And that's obviously where the cash burn is important and everything else. But if you do get this right, that's also your moat. So this is, you know, this side of the world, it's almost like junior mining, right? It's kind of, you promise that there's a whole lot of cool stuff under the ground. You go and raise capital to do your initial digging, your bankable feasibility study. That's almost like the FDA approval. And then if all goes well, the stuff starts to come out the ground, you know, and if you only invest once it's already come out the ground, the outsized returns have kind of already happened, but obviously there's lower risk. So it really does come down to investor appetite in this space. And I guess, Justin, buying a basket of these things, I mean, I don't think you would go and put your retirement savings into one of them in a get rich or die trying 50 cent album kind of strategy.
Absolutely. Now, this will come in as sort of a quarter of a percent holding in our portfolio, gently grow from there in terms of how we see it. You know, it'll be one of probably 70, 80 stocks that are in that portfolio, particularly in Unicorn. And lastly, the runway on this particular drug at present is estimated at $48 billion. So there is a huge runway for this drug at the moment globally. So, you know, these guys are very, very well positioned and we are very chuffed to find them. But at the same time, I must say to your listeners, as exciting as it sounds, please be careful. Don't just jump into this stock. And I reiterate what Ghost has just said. You know, rather buy this in a unicorn portfolio where you've got a diversified exposure.
I mean, just that's really why this biotech space is so exciting. I was reading, I think it was with, again, Madrigal. This has been on the books for, I think, the last 4 years. Those approvals don't just happen overnight. So that does give you a moat. It means, yes, there's a long runway where you bleed a lot of money in your R&D. And then when it unlocks very powerfully. In the interest of time, I'd like to jump into the next stock that you wanted to talk about, which was Myomo. And the reason I want to do this is that that was equally exciting to me. This was the one that we literally saw go from hundreds of dollars down into the single digits. It's a bit of a roller coaster ride, but a very exciting product behind that as well. I mean, I was looking at these. It looks like robotic prosthetics. And in a world where Tesla's been promising Optimus as a robot, you know, this is not that kind of stuff. This is really making a difference. And again, core to the Anbro thesis, something we've discussed with you and Craig on the show time and time again, is you want to invest in things that make a real difference to people's lives. So Myomo, operating in the prosthetic space, making a difference to people who have those limitations. Tell us a bit about this company and how does a stock as volatile as this pop up on your radar? I mean, that's really a question from me, Jess.
Okay. So I think, again, great question. We've got a really good research, let's call it a pyramid, if you want to call it that. So we look at themes, we look at things that just fall outside of those. One of the companies we picked up probably 2-3 years ago was a company called Hanger. Hanger made prosthetics. They were very clever at creating a community of people who required prosthetics, all the way through to employment for those people. You know, for those listeners who have never heard of Hanger, you know, when you have infants that have skulls that don't knit from birth, Hanger was one of the first to provide a worldwide sort of helmet-type brace that helped, you know, early-stage children be able to be in a position where they could safely still allow the skull to knit. And they made their name on that. And then other types of prosthetics.
Sorry to interrupt, Jess, but for listeners who are interested in that thing, it was episode 80. Of Magic Markets. You actually talked about it with us. So anyone can go listen to episode 80 if you want to go and listen to more about Hanger. Sorry for interrupting, but I thought that was important.
No problem. Hanger got bought out. They were seen as a great opportunity. And I think they got bought out because not so much from the ability to be good at prosthetics, but they were very good at managing a community of people with prosthetics, if that makes sense. Now, in the space that we saw Hanger come through in our research, this popped up out of nowhere because it was, at the time, the number one quant-rated, in this space, quant-rated medical robotics company. So it always piques my interest. I'm not always a quant-only type investor, but this piqued my interest. So in that space, I went to go and have a look at this company. To exactly what you said, Mo, being able to do good is such an important thing for me. You know, if we're going to invest in something, it's got to be able to do good and make a visible difference. This is the most fascinating little company, and the reason why it's probably all over the place from a share price point of view is it has a very small market cap. Its market cap's about $100 million and share price about $3.67 at the moment, $3.67. The interesting part about what they do is they're incredibly focused and they worked with MIT and Harvard and produced what's called a powered arm brace, or by its technical given name, a medical myoelectric orthotic. Now, what does that mean? And you know, if we're sitting here as investors, basically, it allows for both mobility and therapy because it gets the arm moving. So imagine a stroke victim who's now got an arm that's completely disabled, or someone who's had a brain injury. Not only do you wear this over your arm, and what it allows you to do using myoelectric inputs, so in other words, almost like nerve impulses picked up by the skin, it starts to allow you to be able to use your hand again. And I encourage listeners, go and have a look at their website, which is Myoma, which stands for My Own Motion. And this is a brace that reteaches people and assists people to use their upper limbs again, your arms, your hands, etc. Has a huge impact on military-related injuries, brain injuries, strokes, etc. Now, what's so interesting about it is it's completely non-invasive. So you don't need to have a chip put in your skull or some kind of horrible injection or have this thing attached with pins or whatever. This is actually fitted to you and uses these myoelectric impulses to start working again. And at the same time, gets your ligaments moving, your muscles moving, your arm moving, and starts to look at getting you mobile again. Now, if you go and look at some of the videos of the people who have used it, and you see the emotions of these people being independent again, it makes a huge difference. What's interesting about them is I have done my best and researched as much as I can. And I can find guys that can give you a powered leg or a powered below-the-knee replacement. There's nobody that does upper limb at the moment. Now, whether Elon Musk comes through and is able to have a chip that can help you and reconnect these things, that's all wonderful, and I hope that happens. But the reality is this works right now. Why is it interesting? Well, at present, they are FDA approved in the US. They are in Canada, Germany, and surprisingly, also in China. These are huge markets. They just added a rep to the UK as well. So these guys are in big markets where medical aid, medical insurance covers these devices. And they've just been given an upgrade in the States where people over the age of 65 now can actually qualify under their medical aid for this device as well. Now, one of these things is not cheap. They're around $86,000 for what's called a Myo Pro brace. But the effect it has on the individual's life and quality of life means less care required for the individual, more confidence for the individual, less mental type costs for managing this individual, and a return to mobility. Now, these guys, what's interesting here, and I know Ghost always wants to talk numbers, which is the right way to look at stocks. Here's an interesting one for you. In terms of revenue, the small company revenue, 2023, it's a small company, did about $19.24 million. Market cap, about $101 million. So it's got a price to sales of about 5.29, price to sale ratio. Revenue is expected to almost double by 2025, taking it to about $37, $38 million a year, which brings a forward price to sales down to 2.76. The average multiple in the industry, the sector median, is 3.91. What's interesting about these guys is that they currently have $8.86 million in cash and zero debt. Currently, I cannot find a competitor. Where the competitors are the likes of someone like Musk trying to develop a chip or other types of brain treatments, and let's call them, you know, reconnecting either neural pathways or trying to do work like that that's more invasive or more long-term where some of the competitors are. But there's no one with a robotic type brace here. You can imagine from the learnings from this, what else could be developed at that. Now, my feeling about this, and it's only my feeling, you know, Craig and I have chatted about it, he feels the same. The interesting part about this is because there are no known competitors building robotics to compete, this could be another hanger. It could be another takeout target for a much bigger technology company. I'm not saying it is. I've got nothing in writing that says it is. But this is a great little company, and it does really good work. And I think there's huge, huge runway for them. There's nobody in their way. And some of the technology they're learning, and with the improvement in a lot of the tech that's out there now and how it's moving with AI, this is amazing technology that's FDA approved and paid for. And you can look at a cash flow and how it operates, and they have zero debt. So the interesting part for us is we found a little company like this. We're happy to take a 25% stake in. We looked at it at its current price, looked at it on its, you know, current revenue and market cap, and look at the way it's expanding around the world. And we were quite excited. I mean, this to us is a really potential little win that could be sitting in our portfolio. And if this thing goes from where its price is and it does what we think it might, it could be a great little company to have as one of the 60, 70 stocks that we hold.
Yeah, the revenue multiple points is super interesting, right? Because, you know, it is easy to say, well, the revenue multiple is just silly and it doesn't really tell you anything and all of those things. But for a lot of these companies, the reason that they are not yet profitable is often a scale issue. It's route to market. It's getting more experts in the space to actually start using the thing. So sometimes the unit economics just suck and then you've got a problem. You know, the bigger you get, the more money you'll lose, which is obviously an extraordinary outcome that you never want to be in. But I think where the unit economics are okay, and that's obviously where the deep research becomes important, then it can just be a scale issue. And then you can pay up a little bit on revenue multiple because there is always the chance, to your point, of a takeout. You know, someone swoops in there who has route to market. This thing is ready to go. FDA approved, the whole shebang, you know, Chinese market, that's super interesting as well. And really all it needs is scale. So that's the way I guess I would look at these sort of businesses, is to kind of square away the unit economics versus where the revenue multiple is. And if those two things stack up, then on average, you'll probably come out, I think, looking okay across a basket of stocks, because there is always the risk of the damn things going to zero, as you've correctly pointed out. You know, all you need is a competitor to come in or whatever the case may be. It's that junior mining argument. But I think, yeah, if you kind of take a systematic approach to building a basket of these things, then it can definitely get interesting.
To give you an idea of impact, in November 2023, the CEO, Paul Gudonis, announced, obviously, that Medicare, Medicaid, medical aid had reclassified the brace, like I said to you earlier, for over 65. This has led to a further 150 candidates in the pipeline and technically been an 87% increase in orders from Q4 2023 back to Q4 2022. Now, in order to tell you how it's growing, these guys are just looking to hire 50 to 60 further professional employees by H2 2024 to meet anticipated demand, increase in clinical, manufacturing, and reimbursement functions. And none of the staff coming in are just numbers or sort of blue-collar type workers. These are all professional, technical people, which to me in a small company talks a lot about where they see this going. To your point, you know, big markets like China, you know, well-funded markets like the UK or Europe, you know, and the US, Canada, et cetera, you've got a product which could seriously take off. And while there are no other competitors, I'm sure some might pop up, it's a very difficult field to get in and get approval in. They have all of that.
I mean, I think that's really the key point, Just, is that, you know, these things are all so interesting. If you look at it from a macro perspective, it's just really difficult to contextualize. It's why a detailed look at the numbers is so important, is you have to understand, because again, some of these companies like Myomo, it's the law of small numbers. If you get that right, you know, you could really see massive value unlock over a period of time, but you've got to understand the business from the bottom up. And that's really what we try and do here at Magic Markets, is bring that top down and bottom up approach together to add value to our listeners. But unfortunately, again, in the interest of time, I think we've run out of it, Justin. You know, it's always so interesting speaking to you and the team at Anbro. You always bring these very interesting ideas to the table. I would like you to tell our listeners where they can reach out to yourself and Craig in the team, because I know how approachable you are. I know you love discussing these things, and I know you're keen to do that with some of our listeners. So where can our listeners find you if they want to unpack not just these ideas, but some of the other very interesting stuff you've got going on in the unicorn and some of your other portfolios?
Thanks. You can easily find us at our main website, which is www.anbro, which is A-N-B-R-O, and that's .co, just .co. If you go there and you look us up, under myself, Craig, etc., you'll find our email addresses are there. We're accessible. Give us a shout if you've got a question. Funnily enough, we have had a few of your listeners reaching out to us in the past, after past episodes, which has been interesting and been really good questions. You know, you might find there's somebody in this space who has interesting insight. Always welcome.
Justin, thank you so much for your time this week. It's so nice to have you back on the show. And I would encourage listeners to go back, listen to the other Anbro shows. You guys have been with us quite regularly. And I think there's always this very cool, consistent approach to what you do. There's always something to learn from you and always some really interesting names to then put on the radar. So thank you for sharing them with us, with the listeners. And we hope to see you guys again on here soon.
You're welcome, and great to be with your listeners, and you too again.
This podcast is brought to you by Anbro Capital Investments. Invest in the future. Invest in growth. Visit investingunicorns.com to learn more. The Unicorn Portfolio is managed by Anbro Capital Investments, an authorized financial services provider. This podcast is for informational purposes only and is not financial or investment advice. Please speak to your personal financial advisor.